past summer in Zantius Waikolo. So the first couple of days, I got so many shilas and uchas tzitzis. As I was trying to understand demographically why the shilas are coming in uchas tzitzis, then I realized that, you know, when you're a rav and, or you're dealing with a little bit older tamidim, so you're not going to get that many tzitzis shilas. People by the time they're 20 years old have already figured out how to wear tzitzis. You're going to get other areas of shilas. But a lot of the boys in Zantius Waikolo were 14, 15 young boys who were first, you know, first getting into it. So that was the first mitzvah that they get all excited about. So we got an overwhelming amount of tzitzis shilas. But since then, I haven't gotten too many exciting, we just started mamish. Just telling the story first, so don't miss anything. So I haven't gotten too many exciting tzitzis shalas since the summer, but yesterday I got an exciting one. So I thought I would just share with you because it really touches on some of the things that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Before we continue from where we left off, it may take us half the shia to analyze the shalas, but at least it'll be, I think, some good chazara. Someone came up to me yesterday after davening with the following shala. They said that they're not so, the fingers aren't so nimble, they're not so good at tying tzitzis strings. So they know that over the past, their wife has helped them out with some tying of tzitzis strings. So the question is, how exactly does that play out in terms of halacha? So I asked them, what do you mean by that? Your wife has helped you out in terms of tying tzitzis strings. So they said, well, sometimes when the tzitzis start to unravel a little bit, so the wife will come and help them retie them and tie the knots again. I said, okay, well, let's take step by step. If the tzitzis were still kashim in HaTorah the way they were, and even Midrabbana, namely, remember we spoke about this, that the first two knots were made, and then the first tying around was done, and then the next set of two knots was made. So technically speaking, those tzitzis are kosher. Those tzitzis are kosher in HaTorah, and they're really even kosher in the Rabbanon. It's just that lechatchila mishum hid the mitzvah, you should have the four, the four different sets of coils and the five knots and the different minhagim. But b'inka meikar adin, those tzitzis are kosher the way they are. So I said that if the tzitzis were still intact, meikar adin, and anything your wife did just to, in terms of the number 8s, 11s, and 13s, and those extra knots, I said nishkefelt, and there's no shada whatsoever, the tzitzis are perfectly kosher. So I asked him, did your wife do anything more than that? So he says he doesn't remember. He thinks there may have been one or two of his begadim that his wife actually did for him, literally. So I said, okay, now we're getting into a much more serious shaila. So let's analyze. What's the din? If a woman makes tzitzis, are the tzitzis kosher or not? So remember, we pointed out that the Gemara tells us that if a non-Jew makes tzitzis, when I'm using the term making tzitzis now, I don't mean making the strings. I mean connecting the strings to the baguette. If a non-Jew connects the strings to the baguette, so we pass in those tzitzis of apostle min HaTorah, because of the special gzeres akosu of Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'lo ovdi kechavim. That's all it says in the Gemara. So there was some Rishonim who picked up on that drush and said, well, b'nei Yisrael has another connotation also, b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael. Well, what gives us the right to make drushes? We're not Tanoim, we're usually not in the drusha making business. Well, the truth is this drush of B'nai Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael to exclude Jewish women is a drush that exists in other contexts. Some of you may remember from Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago, in the end of the first, a couple of months ago right at this point, at the end of the first parak of Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara is a series of drushes, B'nai Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael. How do you know that women don't do smicha when they bring a korban? How do you know a woman doesn't wave when she brings a korban? B'nai Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael. So it's not a far-fetched drusha. It's not a made-up drusha. So some Rishonim said that we have a right, whenever the Torah uses the phrase B'nai Yisrael, to have such a drusha, B'nai Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael. Because if Chazal made the drusha ready, B'nai Yisrael below Akum, so B'nai Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael is not that far behind. That's what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim said, Ma pitom, milon lechadish drushes me'atzmeinu. He said, Chazal never told us. The Gemara never says that we're not mechuyav to make up new drushes. So there is no such halacha that a woman is perfectly kshera to connect the strings to the tzitzis. So how do we paskin the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins it's okay. The Shulchan Aruch paskins it's not a problem. But the Ramah paskins that it is a problem. The Ramah says that women should not connect tzitzis strings to a beged. There are more rights, though. Baruch Hashem, b'diavad, there are more rights. It's okay. Since most of the Rishonim hold, it's a right. So b'diavad, there are more gives us a sigh of relief. So I went on to discuss the shalva with the person. I said, from here on in, do me a favor, tell your wife not to make any more tzitzis for you. But here, b'diavad, they're kosher. But what would the halacha have been if we would have really paskin l'chumra, really mikra din, if we really would have accepted those opinions that it's a mamish puzzle, what would we have had to do about it? So this is where the shalah got exciting. So the shalah that doesn't exist, but the shalah that imtum sova would have existed would have been even more excited. So I asked him, well, how many pairs of tzitzis did your wife make for you? So he said, he thinks maybe one, maybe two. He says, but he has 5-6 pairs of tzitzis in the house. So I said, okay, which are the ones that your wife made? He has no clue. He doesn't remember which is which. Now that's a lumda shishayla. So what would the halacha be? You have 3 pairs of tzitzis. 2 of them you know for sure are kosher, and 1 of them is possible. Again, Lamais and Lamais, we paskin b'diyeva, the woman who made it is kosher. But what would the halacha have been if they would have been really, really possible? What's the halacha? So this is a fascinating shayla. This is a tshuva in the Oneg Yom Tov. So in the beginning of shayla, the Oneg Yom Tov, he raises this shayla mamash about tzitzis. He says, what would the halacha be if you have three pairs of tzitzis? Two of them were made l'shma, and one of them wasn't made l'shma. What's the halacha? Can you invoke the principle of what's called bittel barov? Bittel barov, we're aware of bittel barov. Bittel barov means if you have three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher, one of them is treif, and the three pieces get mixed up, and now they're not recognizable. So we know the Torah tells us, "Achrei rab mahatos," you're allowed to follow rov, and technically the meat is considered to be kosher. And according to many rishonim, according it could be maybe possible to swim meat or din, you can actually eat all three pieces. And according to many rishonim, you can even eat all three together. The Rosh holds you can take a sandwich of all three and eat a mamish b'vasachas, because achrei rab mahatos means that it's no longer a treif. The Rosh coins a phrase, "Issa nepach lios heter," that what used to be ulcer has now been transformed to be mutter. So not everyone agrees to that rush. There's already a technical details in your day shirim. So this goes back a couple of years ago on Sunday mornings. But there is definitely a concept of bittul barov. So l'chora, at first glance, if bittul barov works in the realm of Isurim, Isurim is much more chomer than mitzvahs. So if bittul barov permits you to eat what would otherwise have been tray for food, so bittul barov should permit you to wear these tzitzis also. You should have a right to say that the tzitzis nef chulios ksherim, that whatever tzitzis were possible, since they're now b'tarov, because they're all mixed up together, they should be kosher based on the principle of rov. So the Oneg Yom Tov says, no, not so simple. Maybe one could argue the following svara to distinguish. Bittul barov removes qualities from something. It removes negative character traits. They have a piece of meat that's treif, so that's something that's wrong with this piece of meat. So bittul, kishmokenu, bittul means it's mevatel problem. Bittul tells me that what used to have that character trait of treif is no longer treif. If it's no longer treif, then it's mutter. Everything is mutter until proven aser. So once the iser is removed, the name of the chefza remains in a sense that chefza shall have there. So here we want bittul barov to do something else. We want bittul barov to give character traits. We have strings in front of us. We have a begin in front of us that has to be made by a Jew. Has to be made l'shma. Has to be made in a certain way. We want bittul barov to be invoked to declare that that has happened. We want to use bittul barov to give something, to create something positive, not to remove something negative. Heichon Shemana, this bittul barov. Where does it say in the Chumash? Go bring me a rai. Bring me a rai from a Gemara. The bittul barov works not just to remove negative issues, but to actually endow something with positive qualities. That's the sophic of the Oneg Yom Tov. So he brings you raiyas from a Rashi, from a Taizim, and Nochas, as Abikiyas, from Kotchim, that's right, to bring you a raya, how bittul barov works. The Maisa, that's the Shaila. That's the bottom line of the Shaila. The Shaila would have the same applications in other cases. Let's say you have a Tarovus of matzahs. So we have two matzahs that were baked l'shma, and one matzah that wasn't a shmur matzah. Now they all get mixed together, and you can't tell one from another. So can you be yotzi by the Seder with any of those matzahs? So do you have a right to say, bittul barov, achara matzahs, the non-shmur matzahs now become shmura? Or do you say, no, bittul barov can't work to endow something with qualities. Bittul barov can remove negative characteristics, but it cannot give something positive of the characteristics. So that's the shalom. Baruch Hashem, we didn't have the shalom. Baruch Hashem, we're able to be a mekel and zittus. I told him that the tzir of the Ramah says, but the evidence kosher and his bittul barov, and said he could still wear the tzitzis no matter what. But from here on in, his wife shouldn't make him a tzitzis. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't have that by Shechita. The Gemara has the discussion about that by Gittin. About that's a different story. When the halacha requires lishma, when the only chisaron is an issue of lishma, so then there's a discussion in the Gemara in the second paragraph of Gittin called Gadol Omer Agabav or Yisrael Omer Agabav. If a Jew or an adult is standing over the person and instructing them, do it lishma, do it lishma, do it lishma, so the Gemara says that sometimes that works. The Gemara happens to say that doesn't work by a non-Jew. The Gemara says it works by a kota, not by a goy, for whatever machalik zavishanim, why not? But the Gemara has such a concept. But that's only true when the issue is a lishma issue. When there's an issue there's a intrinsic psul in what the person is doing, let's say by shechita. So when a non-Jew shechts an animal, the reason why that shechita is no good is nothing to do with lishma. Shechita doesn't need lishma. But the reason why it's possible is also a shah v'shanam why, but it's some kind of a chisaron ucha shechita. So via gadol omer agabav from tomorrow is not going to work. So to over here, b'nei Yisrael v'lo akom, b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael, according to those who say it has nothing to do with lishma, it has to do with some intrinsic psul.
Alternative is the positive. For instance, If you have those three pieces of matzahs,
same coin.
If you have those three pieces of matzahs, and you're saying one of them is not wasn't baked l'shma, so now the beetle takes that away. So what are you left with?
No, but you're left with it wasn't baked l'shma.
But no,
not baked l'shma. No, but that's the thing. Not baked l'shma is not a posel. Not baked l'shma is a lack of a kashrus. That means right. L'shma is a positive
now
quality.
You use it as if it was baked l'shma.
No. That's the whole shaila. That bidl can remove a chisaron. It can't give a maila. So everything starts out in the world is not l'shma. I have dough in front of me. It's not l'shma. So I have to endow with l'shma. I have to go ahead actively and give it l'shma.
So what does the bidl do?
That's exactly the problem. That bittul doesn't do that. Bittul just means that any negative qualities that this object had no longer exist. So being shelo l'shma is not a negative quality. Being shelo l'shma is a lack of a positive quality. That's exactly the suffering in the other yadav. Can bittul accomplish
so
that?
Same with the meat. If you're mabatel the piece of meat that's not kosher.
Right. So now it's not kosher anymore. So if it's now it's not. I'm sorry. It's not nevel anymore. It's not nevel anymore. So whatever's not nevel, you're allowed to eat.
Okay,
it doesn't have to be shchuta to be in, as long as it's not available. It's what the.
But you would say it's giving it.
You be over something.
It's giving the.
It's a beg. It's for sure arbakamis.
Yeah.
So what happens when it's pasul? It doesn't make it. It's not arbakamis. You still can't wear it. So the robe is telling us you can. It's still able to be worn. And then by default, you have tzitzis.
No, so tzitzis is the other way around. Tzitzis, you have to first decide whether you have a kosher tzitzis or not. There's no isser, so to speak. We'll talk about this in a moment. There's no isser to wear beitel dal kanfas. There's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on dal kanfas. So you have to posket up whether these strings are kosher or not. So if rov can't declare that they're kosher, so mamela, they're not kosher. Mamela.
Somebody who said that he doesn't have to wear avakanfas ever, therefore he didn't wear tzitzis?
Yeah, the Gemara talks about that, yeah.
So isn't that the opposite? So here, we know we have avakanfas.
But we may have kosher tzitzis. That's exactly the shaila. So that's what we're trying to be done on. If Bittul Barov can tell us that we have kosher tzitzis, then we're home free. If Bittul Barov can't tell us that we have kosher tzitzis, then we don't have a problem.
How
does the Yom Tov decide? He's told it on a Machlekes Rashi and tells him Maseches Menachos. He claims it's a Machlekes Rishonim and Menachos. That's what he claims. I don't remember what he says in the Meisner. I don't remember. Yeah. I think he leaves it as a he claims it's a Machlekes Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken. It's Simon Dal in the Yemi of Onig Yotiv. Take a look. I don't know. I got lost in the middle of the Kutchin part of it.
Who said that it's a davar sheyesh lamatira? Literally, they just undo the tzitzis and redo it again.
It's a davar sheyesh lamatiran. This means in the case of he was talking about tzitzis strings that were made shelo lishma. Here is a shot of a davar sheyesh lamatiran. So a person can just undo it and do it again. The only question is that may not be a davar sheyesh lamatira because it's a davar sheyesh patircha. So that's in Shulchan Aruch and in Siman. No, we talk about this. So. Yeah, but kasher and kalim, right? But there's a whole shaila about if you have trefa forks get mixed up with kosher forks, and now the shaila of rove. So the rishonim write that if it's a kasher, there's a big hassle. So that's not called a davar sheyesh lamatirin. So, stop it. That's a big hassle to start undoing your whole tzitzit. It means he's got to get 10 pairs of tzitzis. And what to say davar sheyesh lamatirin would mean the guy's going to spend another 5 hours undoing all tzitzis and redoing them again. But stop it. That would qualify as a davar sheyesh lamatirin. I think it's more tzitzis than the kasher fork. I think so. Okay, anyway, this wasn't what we were going to talk about. This was just interesting issues that came up in yesterday's application of Ilkutsis. Okay, getting back to our regular scheduled program. So we left off 2 weeks ago. We were talking about tzitzis before the Chanukah Shir. So 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Zman of tzitzis. So we spoke about the basic distinction between Yom versus Laila, and how exactly to define Yom, how to define Laila, all the Shahs that come up, the Yom Kippur Shah that comes up, and the blanket Shah, all the different nuances in terms of Zman tzitzis. So there is another aspect of Zman tzitzis which is going to touch immediately on what we just mentioned a moment ago, and that's an interesting Shah that the Rishonim discuss. Sounds at first glance like a strange shaila. Is Shabbos a Zman Tzitzis? Is Yom Tov a Zman Tzitzis? Well, this is Tefillin again. What happened? Of course, we're Yotzi. We all know we make a bracha on a Tzitzis on Shabbos. Like, why in a million years would a person say that Shabbos and Yom Tov are not a Zman Tzitzis? So, what it means is as follows. Under normal circumstances, if a person is wearing a four-cornered beged, so they have an obligation to put tzitzis on them. And if they don't put tzitzis on the beged, that's considered to be a bitla mitzvah. So the Mordechai, Maseches Menachos, raises the following shaila. What if a person on Shabbos morning decides he wants to wear a four-cornered beged, and they don't tzitzis on that beged? Is there anything wrong with that? Is that considered to be a bitla mitzvah? So the Mordechai quotes a Machlekes Rishonim about that. So some Rishonim say, it's also, you're not allowed to do that. There's an issa gomer to wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis on. So the Mordechai quotes other Rishonim and say, wait a second, Why is that necessary? The Torah doesn't say lo silbash beged b'li tzitzis. The Torah says kedilim tasalacha. The Torah says we also kind of seal the chedos. The Torah says actively put on tzitzis. So comes the Mordechai and says, a guy puts on the four-cornered beged. So now he's about to perform the mitzvah of gedilim tasalacha. He's about to put the strings on. But wait a second. It's Shabbos. Shabbos you can't put tzitzis on. You're not allowed to tie knots. Not allowed to tie tzitzis knots on Shabbos. So comes the Mordechai and says, what's wrong with putting on the beged? There's no issur in wearing a beged without balakanfas. There's a mitzvah, a say, but not tell me to put tzitzis on. If my hands are tied, if I can't do it, I can't do it. So what do you want from me? It's nothing wrong. There's no issur involved. That's what the Mordechai writes. So the poskim write that he's probably right. That's most of the echlarim right. He's taka probably right. So does that mean l'chadchila shal l'chadchila you can mamish put on a four-cornered beged and Shabbos without any strings whatsoever? So some achrim seem to say yes. Others say it's derabbanan, it's this, it's that. Other reasons why. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't advocate doing it. But if you think about it logically, l'chor it should be true. That me'ikir adin, for shomin ha-Torah, there should really be absolutely nothing wrong with putting on a four-cornered beged on Shabbos in the absence of tzitzis, because of the fact that the nature of tzitzis is only a mitzvah essay. Why exactly can't the person put tzitzis strings on? What exactly is involved with putting tzitzis strings on? So the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos tells us that it's impossible. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that this would be an absolute violation, min ha-Torah, to be an issa malacha d'arayis, to tie strings of tzitzis on Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't exactly tell us why it's usar. So we have to leave it up to our imagination. Most probably the reason is that it's a problem of kosher. That when you take the strings and you put them onto the beged and you're tying knots, so that sounds like that's a malach of kosher. Why exactly is that a malach of kosher? So, probably because that's called the kesha shel kayama. That's considered to be a permanent type of a knot. I'm making the strings. They're going to last for a long time. Hopefully, they can last forever. So that's called the kesha shel kayama. So l'chore, that should be problematic. So the Prima Godim raises the following interesting question. He says, wait a second, why does the Gemara say that it's absolutely an issa d'arayis under all circumstances? The Gemara says it is impossible to ever connect tzitzis to the beged on Shabbos. Says the Prima Godim, no, let the person make the following. Let the person put the strings inside and have in mind he's going to take them out Motzei Shabbos. So we know that if you make a kesher, which is Eina Shel Kayama, there are different opinions what's called Eina Shel Kayama. We're knowing 24 hours. We're knowing that if it's less than 24 hours, so that's considered to be a kesher Eina Shel Kayama. Doesn't mean that it's always mutter. Again, we're not learning in Melachas Shabbos right now. We've come to the Shabbos morning shiurim. At the rate that we're going now, we should get there by Tosel to now next Yovel. But we've kosher finished Bishul. But anyway, getting... The Chora says the Prima Godim, a person can circumvent Olcha Shabbos by putting the strings in and having in mind that he's going to take them out the Motzei Shabbos. So says the Prima Godim, how come the Gemara doesn't say that? How come the Gemara doesn't give that Eitza? So says the Prima Godim, I'll tell you why, because that wouldn't work for Olcha Shabbos. Olcha Shabbos isn't defined by what you as a Meshuggah want to do. If you have a particular Kesher that everybody views this type of a Kesher as a Kesher Shel Kayama, even if you choose personally to make it in a Shel Kayama, it's still called the Kesher Shel Kayama. So that's a Chiddush Gadol Prima Godim has. So the Echvarim Pilpul, is he right, is he wrong, is he right, can he be doichel, is he right, etc. But what prompted his Chiddush Gadol and Hilchos Shabbos was this Gemara concerning Hilchos Tzitzis. So a call upon him to make Tzitzis on Shabbos is out of the question. Whether it was right or not right, Lamai said the Gemara is the favorish. To tie Tzitzis on Shabbos is absolutely awesome, and the Torah is out of the question, which led the Mordechai to conclude, well, if it's out of the question, so then maybe it's mutter to wear the beged in the first place. So if a person, this has nafkaminas ladina for the following. Let's say a person is wearing a beged of dalakanfos. He's wearing a kosher pair of tzitzis. He's wearing his talus gadol. And then he realizes he gets his strings caught in the door or something. So his tzitzis now become possible. So we learned to the degree of just because one string rips doesn't necessarily mean the tzitzis are right away possible. We spent a lot of time talking about two strings and three things and kedei aniva, not kedei aniva, a bit of time. It's complicated sugya, how possible the tzitzis are. But this guy... hit the jackpot. He passed his tzitzis the holidays. He walked to the door. He got his tzitzis going on the fan and the whole thing ripped off. So they're puzzle, absolutely puzzle. Min ha-Torah, no question about it. So what does a person have to do at that point? If his tzitzis just became puzzle, gewalt, what do? So during the week, the first thing you do is you get undressed. The first thing you gotta take it off. You gotta take your talus off right away. You gotta rip the tzitzis off right away. Because any second that you're wearing the talus without kosher tzitzis on it, so that's a bitul ha-mitzvah. So you have to take it off right away. That's the halacha. What about on Shabbos? So some posts come and say, Shabbos, you don't have to rush. Shabbos, big deal. What's the big deal? So you're wearing tzitzis that are possible. Bash, that doesn't matter. It's not called a bitul mitzvah, since your hands are tied anyway. Since the halacha prohibits you from making tzitzis on Shabbos, that's not considered to be a bitul mitzvah. That's what some. That's what many people keep saying. There is another issue, however, to be aware of in terms of Shabbos, that even though Shabbos is more kal in the sense of that the mitzvah of tzitzis isn't screaming at you every second to take off the baguette, sometimes you can have an Isra Vilcha Shabbos that can force you to take off the beggar. Namely, if you want to go outside, we spoke about this in the past also. The Gemara says that if a person wears a beged with posel tzitzis on him, that's considered to be tantamount to carrying on Shabbos. The Gemara even says, Chayev Chatas. The Gemara says, if a person goes out on the street to Rosh Hashanah in a Torah, V'talas she'enu mitzuyetzes kehulchas, so with a talus that doesn't have kosher tzitzis on it, so that's tantamount to carrying, because the only reason why tzitzis are not usually considered to be carrying is that they're serving a function, they're part of the baguette. So if they're not serving any function, haray, they're posel, so that's a problem. So then it's considered to be like you're carrying the strings of the which are connected onto the baguette that you're wearing. So Shabbos has chumras and kulas. It has kulas in the sense if you're inside, so you may not necessarily have to go run to take the tzitzis off in a split second. But if you go outside, then it becomes a much more serious problem, because then you would be mechuyev right away to take them off, because it shouldn't be a problem of carrying. There is a question whether that is of wearing a baguette without tzitzis on Shabbos in the street really applies to Zman HaZeh for the following reason. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, how come the halacha is that if a person is wearing a talus, she'enu mitzuyetzes kehulchos, tzitzis apostle, why is it that he's chayev? Why are the strings considered to be carrying? The Gemara asks the question, why don't we just say the strings are botel? He doesn't care about the strings. They're mamish nothing. Let's say, for example, a person is walking in the street with a suit and he realizes he has a cleanest tag or something which is connected. So would you say he's chayev for carrying on Shabbos? I had the cleanest tag, it's not doing anything. I mean, you know, the little thing, the little blue piece of paper that they stapled in. So it's not doing anything, it's not serving a function. Would you say that's called carrying on Shabbos? So the pashtus in the halacha is that that's not considered to be carrying. I say pashtus, some question this, but the pashtus in the halacha is that's not called carrying. The reason is, he doesn't care about it. It's dvar b'teilim. He cares what he's carrying. He's like, it's like a piece of dirt, which is on his, person has a little a hair which fell into his jacket. That's called carrying on Shabbos. So it's k'man d'leis, it doesn't exist. So the Gemara asks that same question when it comes to the tzitzis. If the tzitzis are mamashoch, if the tzitzis are kosher, then they're enhancing the beged and they're part of the beged. If the tzitzis are posel, so they command the leisa, they're not doing anything. So they're like dvarim b'teilim, they're like the cleanest tag. So the Gemara says, no, tzitzis are different because they're chashivei. Because tzitzis are very chashuv, and therefore they're not considered to be botel. Ad kan tevri Gemara. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What does that mean? Tzitzis are choshev, and therefore they're not botel. Therefore they pose a problem of carrying. So Rashi says, you know why they're choshev? Because they're very, very expensive. Why are they very, very expensive? Because they're tcheles. Tcheles, because you have fortune to get authentic tcheles. So that's why the tzitzis are considered to be choshev. The implication of Rashi is, if you don't wear tcheles and you have a cheapy strings, this would be an incentive not to wear tcheles. No, don't you take this as any advertisement pro or con. If a person isn't wearing tcheles, so then what does tzitzis cost? What's that, $5? A couple of pennies? His white strings cost a few pennies. So that's like the cleanest tag. That's bottle. That's a dvar b'teilim. It's not considered to have any chashivas whatsoever. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos says no. Tosfos quotes that it's not the tcheilas that gives him chashivas. What gives him chashivas is as follows. That people would recycle the tzitzis strings. Let's say if I have four strings and one of them gets ripped, so I'm not going to take them off. I'm not going to throw the baguette into the garbage and buy another baguette. In the olden days, people would reuse things. They'd recycle things. We live in a generation where everything is and nobody bothers fixing anything anymore. But in the olden days, people fixed things. So you had a pair of tzitzis that ripped. So you took the strings off, you put them in your drawer, and you saved them because next week, some of your kid's going to rip his tzitzis and he's going to have an extra string. So then you put them together. You make a new baguette for some new tzitzis for somebody else. So says Tosfos, it was considered to be common practice to recycle tzitzis strings. So that's considered, that's why they're choshev. They still have some significance to them. The cleanest tag, I'm not going to recycle. It's often bad to recycle the cleanest piece of paper. So the cleanest piece of paper is going into the garbage at some point. So that's dvarim b'teilim. But the tzitzis are potentially recyclable. If that's true, then l'chora one could question this whole halacha of Bizman HaZeh. That Bizman HaZeh, who recycles tzitzis? A joke, if your tzitzis rip, you put them in the bag, you throw them into the garbage, that's it, finished. Nobody saves tzitzis to collect one string from here and yet a string from there. And the whole strings cost you $5. With all the chumras, it costs you $6. So one could argue that neither Rashi nor Tosis's svara applies to Zman Hazeh. So one could raise some serious question about whether this halacha even applies to Zman Hazeh. That if you have puzzled sitters, good, so they're puzzled, finished. So the devar b'teirum, the commando leisa. So it's just a ha'ara. I'm not saying lemaisa, lemaisa. We try to avoid wearing puzzled sitters all the time. We try to avoid wearing them in the street on Shabbos. But one could question whether the halacha really applies to Zman Hazeh. There was a further machlekes apelskim. Let's say a person has... I'm sorry.
Would your analysis change if the talis that he's wearing became puzzled in the street on Shabbos?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. About what he's mechuyav to do on the spot, to get undressed literally on the spot. We'll talk about it in a second. So let's say you have the following situation. Let's say you have a pair of tzitzis, that the pair of tzitzis is technically puzzled. Why is the pair of tzitzis puzzled? It's too small, the hole's not right, there's something wrong with this beggar. It's not really chayv and tzitzis altogether. Is that called carrying on Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah says yes. The Mishnah Berurah says that if just as if you have a talis that has puzzle strings on it, that's called carrying. If you have a beggar that's bechlam not chayv and tzitzis, so kavachomi, that's called bad carrying. Means you're carrying the strings, because the strings are not accomplishing anything. They're not doing the mitzvah tzitzis. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So the Netziv disagrees with that Mishnah Berurah. Then the first tshuva, I'm not mistaken, and the Netziv's tshuva, it was a correspondence he had back and forth with the Chavetz Chaim, if I'm not mistaken. So the Netziv claims that it's not true. That when does the Gemara say that the tzitzis are considered to be carrying? That's if the person knows the apostle. He accepts the fact of the apostle, and he's going to take the strings off and fix them and do something else with them. But here, his rabbi told him that a 12-inch tzitzis are kosher. He thinks they're kosher. So this is the tzitzis that he's wearing forever. So how could he say that tzitzis are not vital to the beggar? For him, they're serving a function. I and Shemayim, they're not kosher tzitzis. According to the Shulchan Aruch, he's not in Yotzei Mitzvah. So what? But right now, they're bottled to the beggar. They're not going anywhere. He's not going to take them off and put them on another beggar. Right now, they're bottled to the beggar. So that's also another factor in this shaila. So a whole part of getting back to the story. So tzitzis on Shabbos has pros and cons. And on the one hand, we're a little bit more makele tzitzis on Shabbos because you're not really mechuyev, so to speak, to put the tzitzis onto the beggar because your hands are tied. You cannot put them on Shabbos. So there's really no problem in a Torah in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis. But in terms of the carrying issue, carrying becomes a little bit more of a tricky issue, which that halacha may not apply to Zman Hazeh. Again, we usually assume that it does. We try to avoid wearing puzzle tzitzis all the whole time. For sure, in Shabbos in the street, we try to avoid it. But one could argue that the Iker Adin may not even apply to Zman Hazeh. The Gemara has a further discussion about if a person is walking in the street on Shabbos, and again, Bisman Gemara that... Because the tzitzis don't have chashivas to them, because the strings are dvarim b'teilim, because we don't recycle them. So one could argue maybe that that's not a problem. Maybe, again, I'm not saying lechachil do that, but one could argue that possible. So the Gemara has a following discussion in Maseches Menachos. The guy's walking in the street on Shabbos, and he realizes that his tzitzis just became puzzle. So in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis, he's not in a rush to take them off. But in terms of carrying, he's got a serious problem. So must he take them off or not? So the Gemara says it depends. Depends how bad a street he's in. Is he? I don't mean in terms of neighborhood. In terms of halacha, is he in a Rishus Sarabim Diraisa, or is he in an area that's only a Carmelis? If it's a Rishus Sarabim Diraisa, so that's tantamount to carrying. That's mamish carrying minat Torah, and that's a problem. Da, 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 da. If it's an area that's only a Carmelis, that's only also a Rabbanan, that's missing one of the requirements of Rishus Sarabim Diraisa, so then it would only be a violation of carrying mid Rabbanan. Why does that make a difference? We like to observe Dinim D'Raisa and Dinim D'Rabbanan. So here you have a fact of Kavod HaBrios. For the person to start getting undressed in the middle of the street, that would be a violation of Kavod HaBrios. That's very embarrassing. So we have a rule that Kavod HaBrios gives you a right to violate Yisurim D'Rabbanan. You're permitted to violate any Yisurim D'Rabbanan in order to enhance Kavod HaBrios, to spare yourself or to spare somebody else embarrassment. But to violate an Issa D'Raisa, the Gemara says in Brachas, and Chochma V'en Tvuna V'en Eitzel Neged Hashem. Gemara gives a case, the most blatant example. The Gemara says a guy's walking in the street and he realizes that he's wearing shatnas. The Mamash, she realizes, he looks down the label and says, oh my goodness, 90% wool, 10% linen, it's shatnas D'Raisa, Gavalt, what do you do? So the Gemara says the guy gets undressed in the street. takes his jacket, takes his pants, whatever shot, he's got to get mamish, get undressed, walk around without any clothes, because it's an issa deraisa. What are you going to do? Issa deraisa, issa deraisa. Aye, it's embarrassing, it's terrible. No. Next time you check the suit before you go out in the street. So that's what the halacha is. But if it's only shatnas derabanan, like there's certain cases of shatnas that are not minat Torah, that only be derabanan, then he would not be mechuyif to get undressed in the street. He can get home, and as soon as he gets home, then he would get undressed, obviously. So the Gemara has the same klam when it comes to tzitzit. The guy's walking in the street and he realizes it's tzitzit apostle. So it's very embarrassing. The guy's going to start taking off his shirt. They're getting undressed. It depends where you live. In some places, it's not so embarrassing. People walk around without shirts. But if a guy views that in his community, he's walking down, he's walking home, whatever, over the street, and he realizes Gevalt is tzitzit apostle. So if it's an area which is a rishus aram d'araisa, so then it's tough luck. If he wants to continue to walk, so then he's got to get undressed. If he wants to stop where he is, that's also a complicated shiloh. He wants to stop, let's say, assuming he stopped at a red light and he realizes it's an apostle, he wants to spend the rest of the Shabbos standing at the red light, he can do that. Okay, if he wants to do that, he can do that. But to continue to carry in the street, to carry it, to be violent in issa d'araisa, that you have no right to do in order to enhance covet abrius. Mashenken, if it's only a carmelist, then it would only be midirabanan. Again, for most of us, it's not that relevant. Dishas, I live in a place where there's an Erev, so then obviously you're not going to have too much of the shayla. If you live in a place where there's no Erev, then you have to ascertain, why is there no Erev? Is there no Erev because it's a rishus aram d'araisa? Or is there no Erev because it's a rishus aram d'rabanan? So I just had a big chiddush. My uncle told me a big chiddush yesterday. He told me that they told him, somebody told him that those who know from Washington Heights, it's a lot of controversy with the Erev and on the other side of town. From YU, it's on the other side of town. So on the Benedict Avenue side is a controversial Erev. So he told me that he was told that on Broadway is Rosh Hashanah D'Araisa. So he said to me, he said, because there are 600,000 people who go on Broadway. I said, really? When was the last time you saw 600,000 people go on past Kifud? So he said to me, he said, no, because Broadway goes all the way to Albany, which is what I told him, Tak, if you go Broadway straight, I think it goes all the way up to Albany. I think it's still called Broadway all the way there. So he said, so there are 600,000 people on Broadway, but on Benedict Avenue, that's only a Carmelist. That's what he told me. That was his Chiddush. So I didn't want to disappoint him by telling him that the Rishonim write that if you have an area where one of the streets is a Rosh Hashanah D'Araisa, it could be that any other street that intersects with that and any other street next to it may also be Rosh Hashanah D'Araisa. So that chiluk is not so poshut. So he wasn't, the person who he was quoting wasn't advocating the Erev. He was just pointing that there's a difference in where you're carrying in the Erev. So I wasn't sure that any of that information was correct that he was saying. Yeah. That would be another problem, right? That would be a serious problem, right? If you had chelas, right? But we're not going to have that anymore because midrabbani not allowed to wear beggar shopishan anymore. So that question has become not really relevant, right? Medina, meikam mikra din, that halacha would be true, right? The post can point out that the same issue that the Mordechai is mechadesh to asinuchas tzitzis, that since the nature of the mitzvah of tzitzis is such that it's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on, it's not an iser, so the same is true when it comes to mezuzah. That mezuzah also, there's no issa. The Torah doesn't say, lo sadua bebayish eba mezuzah. You're not in violation of an issa if you live in a house without a mezuzah. It's just that every second that you have a house that you're living in, and you're not putting a mezuzah on, that's considered to be a bitul ha-mitzvah. So what would that halacha be? Let's say a person lives in a house on Shabbos. So a guy lives in a house on Shabbos, doesn't have a mezuzah. So that would be okay, because he can't put the mezuzah on. His hands are tied. He can't put the mezuzah on. So that's not called the bitul ha-mitzvah. So the post can extend this. What would that halacha be if a guy has, in the case of the mezuzah, the case of the tzitzis, a guy's on a desert island. He's got four-cornered baguette, and he doesn't have any strings whatsoever. Guy's on a desert island with Gilligan and Skipper. He's out there in the desert. He's built his house, and he doesn't have mezuzah. He doesn't have cloth. He can't write a mezuzah. So he's not allowed to live in the house. So he's not allowed to wear the baguette. So the post says he's allowed to. Because if the nature of the issa would be, don't live in a house without a mezuzah, it's tough. You can't live in the house. That's Bikur Nefesh. Well, if the issa would have been, don't wear a beged without tzitzis, then tough, you wouldn't be able to wear the beged. But that's not the issa. There's a mitzvah essay in the Torah to put strings on. There's a mitzvah essay in the Torah to put a mezuzah on your house. So, I can't do it. What do you want? I don't have strings. I don't have cloth. So what do you want from me? So what I'm doing is a davra mutra. I'm doing a davra mutra. I'm doing a ma'ase mutaras. And do me something. I can't put the tzitzis on. I can't put the mezuzah on. So that's the poskim right. That's probably the halacha. That if you're in such a situation, lachar, that should be the din. So there's an interesting possible application to this. That some poskim wanted to bring the following dimyan out of the realm of uchot tzitzis, out of the realm of uchas mezuzah, to the realm of tefilas kalim. So is tefillas kelim like this also? There's a mitzvah, either midrabban or midraisa, to be tovel kelim. Is that a mitzvah's essay? Is that, you're supposed to be tovel kelim? Or is that an isser? There's an isser to use kelim, which we're not toivelt. So what would that halacha be? A guy stuck somewhere. A desert island wouldn't be so bad. He could travel in the ocean. But a guy stuck somewhere, and he's got his silverware, and there's no mikvah around, mamish, for 100 miles. It's Shabbos, right? There's no way in the world for this person to travel the kelim right now. Is he allowed to use them? What's the din? So if you hold that the whole nature of the mitzvah of tefillas kelim is like tzitzis, it's like mezuzah, there's a positive mitzvah to be tovel. Then there's no isser to use kelim which were untovel. There's a bitl ha-mitzvah. Kol zman you use them without tovel. Every time you use them without tovel, that's called a bitl ha-mitzvah. So that in a situation where your hands are tied and you couldn't possibly tovel them, so then there would be nothing wrong with it. So that would be fascinating. So on Shabbos, we hold you're not really supposed to tovel kelim on Shabbos. It'd be an interesting kula. If you forgot to tovel your kelim, so you're real a Shabbos morning, if you forgot to tovel your kiddush cup, you could use it. Because if there's no isser, it's just a bitl mitzvah, and your hands are tied because you can't do the mitzvah tefillas kelim on Shabbos. So many, many poskim say it's not true, that the dimyan is not correct. That by tefillas kelim, there's quite possibly an isser, maybe an isser deraisa, maybe an isser derabbanan, whatever you want to call it, of not using the kelim, that you're not allowed, the halacha prohibits you from using these kelim if they haven't been toveled. So then it doesn't matter. I honestly want a pot of potato tomorrow, so don't make it. Don't use this kelim. Use a plastic cup, whatever. I mean, just because you don't have the ability to do the mitzvah, that in of itself doesn't exempt you from tefillas kelim. So that it would have been an interesting extension, but many poskim question whether that's true. But by tzitzis and mezuzah, it's not going to be shalom right. By tzitzis and mezuzah, the Mordechai I write this chiddush. Who exactly is obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis? So this is really an extension of what we started talking about 2 weeks ago in terms of the zmana mitzvah. So the basic p'tur of Lila from tzitzis. So comes the Gemara and says that if you hold that Lila is chayv in tzitzis, like many tanoim held, so then it's a mitzvah say she'ein azman grama. So then it's a mitzvah you do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or 365 days a year. So then women are chayavos in tzitzis. So the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim pasuk in this way. The Gemara says that Rav Yehuda held like the tanoim who held that Lila is man tzitzis. So therefore he used to make tzitzis for his wife's begadim. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says we don't pasuk like that. We pasuk like Rabbi Shimon. We pasuk like Rabbi Shimon that Lila's lav zman tzitzis, and therefore it's considered to be zman grama. And since it's zman grama, therefore nashim apturos from tzitzis. So that's how we pasuk in the halacha. It's interesting that the Rishon point out that according to the Rambam, who says that Lila is always potter from tzitzis, no matter what kind of a beged you're wearing, whether you're wearing pajamas or a talis, Lila's potter yom is chayav. So I understand why that's called the mitzvah eseh shazman grama, that the zman is gorem v'chiyav. You're chayav in the daytime and you're potter at night. But if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we quoted the Rosh Hashita, the Rosh holds that Lila is potentially chayav in tzitzis. If you're wearing a beged yom, if you're wearing a ksus yom, if you're wearing a beged that you usually wear in the daytime, so even though you personally happen to be wearing it at night, it's chayav min haTorah in tzitzis. And if you have pajamas, which are usually worn at night, if you're personally put on your pajamas for your long Shabbos nap, so that those pajamas, those four-corner pajamas, are potter from tzitzis. According to the Rosh, Lila and yom are not a function of time on the clock. They're a function of the nature of the type of a beged. So Tosfos gets into trouble according to that understanding. Tosfos quotes like the Rosh, the same as the Rosh. So Tosfos says, if tzitzis are not really a function of yom v'layla, it's a question of ksus yom or ksus layla. Why is that called mitzvah eseh shazman grama? It's not true. There are times in the daytime when you don't wear tzitzis, and there are times in the nighttime when you do wear tzitzis. So why is that called zman grama? So Tosfos works and works and works. Tosfos says, they don't really give an answer. They say, is that mufidah? You see from here, that's also called zman grama. Since the ksus is a function of the time that the ksus is worn, so it's a ksus yom versus a ksus laila, that Chazal somehow understood that's also called zman grama. So Tosfos themselves acknowledge that it's very difficult what they're saying, but they have no choice. That's what the Rosh clearly said. So no matter how you slice it, we pask in lahalacha that laila's lav zman tzitzis, whether the Rosh's version or the Rambam's version, and therefore women are absolutely pturos from tzitzis. That's the blishim sofik. We pask in that women are absolutely pturos from tzitzis. Just because women are pturus from tzitzis, does that mean that they should not wear tzitzis? So as a general rule, we know, mitzvah sasesh, asman grama, that women are pturus from, we're okay with them volunteering to do it. Not only are we okay with them volunteering to do it, well, in a certain sense, we encourage it also. The Gemara says that gola mitzuva v'yose, misha eina mitzuva v'yose. One who is obligated in a mitzvah is considered to be a greater mitzvah than one who is not obligated. But the Rishonim of Medayik, that doesn't mean the person who is not obligated is nothing. It means the person who is not obligated is not on the same level of mitzvah as the one who is obligated, but it's still something. It's still called a mitzvah. And based on that Gemara, Ben Tam Paskin, that women may recite a bracha when they volunteer to do mitzvahs. So we do this all the time. A woman shakes a lulav, so she makes a bracha. A woman sits in a sukkah, she makes a bracha. Women volunteer brachas and they volunteer mitzvahs. Women say kriyashma, women say brachas kriyashma, women say do a lot of things that they're pturus from, and we don't bat an eyelash. Not only do we not bat an eyelash, we're very happy about it. We encourage them, we train them, we hope that they will do to volunteer these mitzvahs. We encourage women to come to shul to hear the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, even though they're pturus. We have no problems with this. Yet, every once in a while, we bump into a mitzvah where we do have an issue with, where the post can point out that it's considered to be inappropriate for a woman to volunteer. So one of those mitzvahs was tefillin. We spoke about this when we spoke about the tefillin shiurim, but that was for a totally different reason. The other Rishonim wrote, the Ramah writes, that we don't encourage women, if I can't, we discourage her. If a woman wants to put on tefillin, the Ramah writes, mochin biyada, we're supposed to stop her. We're supposed to tell her that it's not appropriate. The other reason is because we shy away from tefillin all the time. We don't have children wearing tefillin anymore on the bar mitzvah, even though midin the Gemara they can. We don't have people wearing tefillin all day when they go to work, even though midin the Gemara they can, because we're concerned with hesech hadas and guf noki, and we don't want to do anything inappropriate to tefillin, so we limit the wearing of tefillin. Our minhag has been already, it's not a new minhag, it's over 1,000 years, from the days of the Gaonim already, to limit the wearing of tefillin only to davening, or kosher, to learn a little bit after davening, or for those yechidei school who sit and learn all day. But for the hamon am, you wear your tefillin when you're davening, so learn a few minutes afterwards, and that's it, and you take them off. So we don't like people volunteering tefillin, so I understand we don't like women to volunteer to put on tefillin either. Tzitzis, what's wrong with tzitzis? Little child, the three-year-old kid wears tzitzis. You wear tzitzis into the bathroom. You wear tzitzis into the wherever you go. You wear tzitzis. There's no kedusha to tzitzis. So why do we have a problem? Why is it that women are discouraged from wearing tzitzis? So the Ramah writes that we should tell the women not to wear tzitzis. Why is that? So the Ramah explains the reason is based on a totally different consideration. We've already said many times there's no chi of gomer to wear tzitzis in the first place. Nobody told you to put the beged on. If you have a beged of four corners, then the Torah says you have to put tzitzis on. Nobody told you to put the tzitzis on in the first place. Why are you doing it? As an expression of chavivas hamitzvah, as an expression of amidas chasidus, that the Gemara's story in Menachas about the malach who came to the Amora, told him, why aren't you wearing tzitzis, etc. We spoke about the arichas a few weeks ago. So we volunteer, in a sense, to put on tzitzis. We're putting ourselves in a situation to obligate ourselves in tzitzis. The Ramah writes, a woman who is ptura from the mitzvah tzitzis, so listen to what she's doing. She's volunteering to put herself in a situation of a mitzvah that she's volunteering to do. And she's not, even when she has the beged on, she's not doing the mitzvah. So the Ramah says, that's a little bit show-offy, the Ramah says. That's mechzik yuhara. That's like already, you know, at kidekach, it's been a little bit too from. It means, yeah, we do the mitzvah that we're supposed to do. To volunteer to do a mitzvah, that's okay. To volunteer to do a mitzvah, that's vayter, volunteering of a mitzvah, that's already just a little bit too far removed, says the Ramah, and that's considered to be something which is mechzik yuhara. So that's considered to be something that's inappropriate. Again, it's a different consideration than the tefillin story, but the Ramah recommends that women should not be wearing tzitzis, and that's of course what our minhag is, and that's the minhag that has existed for hundreds and thousands of years, and that's the minhag that we should continue to follow, that women should not be encouraged by any stretch of the imagination to be wearing tzitzis. They once asked the Rav about a certain case where the post can use the phrase mechzik yuhara. So they asked the Rav, is the following activity considered to be mechzik yuhara? Does it resemble like gaiva, like haughtiness? So the Rav thought about it and he says, no, it's not mechzik yuhara. It's yuhara mamish. It's the real one. No. So again, the minhag Yisrael is quite a few years old that women are discouraged from wearing tzitzis. That's the minhag that we should follow with bizmanas as well. Okay, B'mat Hashem, we'll continue in next week. Just in terms of scheduling for the next couple of weeks, are a lot of people, I know next week people are still here, a lot of people away the following weeks. So it's yeshiva break. Everyone's here? Pretty much. Not sure. Okay, so one of those weeks, so the 3 weeks I'm going to be away, one of those Sundays I'll be away.